You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Welcome back to the Roto Experts in the Morning with the King, Scotty Engel, and of course, the fantasy executive, Corey Parson. Susmania will be back on Monday, unless he's fallen in love and staying in Florida. You never know. Things happen these days. Young key people, they just go off on the world. They fall in love. They don't have the Grateful Dead to follow around anymore, though, so I don't know what they do or how they spend their lives. Scott Engel, did you ever think about joining a rock and roll band and becoming a groupie?
He is a groupie.
If I had my druthers, there we go, crush or flush. If I had my druthers and I was wealthy, I would be in a Kiss tribute band and I'd tour the country.
Really?
Yeah.
Flush that idea, fantasy executive?
Yeah, I'm not touring the country with Kiss.
Now, would you dress up as Kiss, or would you just be a voyeur?
No, I'd get in the gear and I'd play the songs.
He asked me, Scott. Is your name Corey? He asked me.
He asked me. Obviously, the question's directed at me. Would you dress up as Kiss?
Tony, who was you talking to?
Well, I was talking to Scott because I think the answer to you, Corey,
settle
is
down
no.
There, Corey.
You might go Insane Clown Posse. Would you go there?
No, I can't do that either.
No, Scotty, how about the Kiss stuff? You would really get makeup and all that stuff?
I have a costume at home. It's like if I had the time and the discipline, I'd learn how to play guitar. And, you know, I tour the country, you know, playing clubs and stuff like that, you know?
See,
it's a rush.
Fantasy exec, that's why this guy's been married 22 years. He's into freaky things. Women like that.
Yeah, I guess so. You know what I'm saying? He ain't doing nothing, though.
I'm not the one that's talking all the trash, hot air. I'll tell you, though, I've told people this, and my friends know it. When you dress up as a member of the band on Halloween to go to a concert, the ladies love it.
Really?
Yep.
Really? So they're willing to get down with, you know, the guy, like the King, dressed up as, you know, Gene Simmons. And pretend you're Gene Simmons?
No, I'm Ace Frehley. My buddy dresses as Gene.
Okay. This sounds like an interesting weekend.
I haven't done it in years, though. It's been three,
really?
It's been a while.
Scott,
it's been about 7 years.
Scott, we know you haven't done it in years. Yeah.
Let the barbs be accurate, Corey.
What is
I
going on?
I
know
you're with your hand happened? Regularly. That doesn't mean you're getting it consistently.
Well, I got to ask the question and change the subject. Noah Syndergaard has been named opening day starter for the New York Mets, but he's going around the fourth pick in most drafts. I really think I will draft Yu Darvish over Noah Syndergaard going forward. I'm a little bit concerned. I'd say on a scale of 1 to 10, about 4 or 5 with Syndergaard's consistent elbow issues. But he pitches through him, and he pitches good. So that's the part that tells me I shouldn't go overboard on that. And I think a lot of times we talk ourselves out of good pick. Darvish is a guy that's come back, and now he's a year in off of the surgery. He's going considerably later, but I'm looking at those strikeouts that he had last year. I think he's better than this year. What would you do in that situation? Do you have Noah Syndergaard as the fourth pitcher on the board, fantasy executive?
Oh, boy, I tell you, I do, but a lot of this talk about Darvish is really starting to ramp up right now. I think I can go with either guy. I don't know. I guess I'm more familiar with Syndergaard and his skill set being right here in the city and, you know, getting to see him play a little bit more. So I would give Syndergaard the slight edge. I got Syndergaard at 4.
How about you, Mr. Scott Engel?
I mean, it's all about draft context here. You make a good point, Tony, because you're talking about getting Syndergaard in, like, the second round, but you can get Darvish, like, 2, sometimes 3 rounds later. And these guys probably going to end up with closer production than you think. It's not about necessarily where you rank them overall, but what kind of value you're going to get. Because, okay, consistently we go Kershaw, Scherzer, Bumgarner, Syndergaard. You could make a case for Sale, though. You really could. You know, pitching in Boston, pitching with a winning team for the first time in his career, the adrenaline's going to be flowing like never before. I was talking to one Boston insider this week who says, was down in camp and saying that, you got a problem with me talking to somebody?
No, go ahead. I'm listening.
Okay. Why don't you talk about Sale then?
No, Scott, I'm listening. I'm reacting to something else.
It is my business. Interrupting me. Now, anyway, I was saying before, I was so rudely interrupted by hot air man over here.
Yeah. Scott, you know what? Every once in a while, you do it. You interrupt people too.
Oh yeah, all the time. But I don't go. Oh God, you know.
No, that's true.
I know, but I've known Corey.
He was praying.
I know Corey for
maybe
years.
Maybe he was praying.
Yeah, he's
very religious.
Yeah.
He does this a lot when it's a certain time of the month. So, anyhow, it's like you can make a real case for Sale. I was talking to one Boston insider this week, and he said it reminds Sale is so amped up and has so much adrenaline to pitch on a winning team for the first time in his life that it reminds him of when Curt Schilling came to Boston. You can make a case for Sale on the tangibles alone, I think, you know, from what I've been hearing out of Boston. But I think you could slot Darvish maybe right in there after Kluber at number 7.
Wow. It's interesting.
Let me ask you guys this. So you got Darvish over Arrieta?
Yeah.
All right. Darvish over,
I do.
Darvish over Kluber?
No, that's why I said 7.
Okay.
So here's what I did. I'm going to tell you, this is a way ADP for people, folks. Don't get locked up in it. I like Darvish over Kluber. But if you look at the stats and everything, Kluber's the most consistent pitcher in the AL in the last 3 seasons. And I thought I could get Darvish a round or two later. So I picked Kluber, and then Darvish got taken.
Mm.
So don't always be a slave to ADP
and
get the guy you want.
Especially if you're in a league with experienced players and stuff like that, which most of our listeners are.
Most fantasy baseball players are, it seems.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
So if you're in that, you know, guys are going to value guys differently. And Darvish is a player that gets pushed up boards when you're playing in the expert ranks.
Absolutely. Now, guys are getting all fired up. We got baseball right around the corner. We've got drafts happening. We got slow drafts happening. Now, if you guys go today, you can download the DFS Today show. This morning I actually talked about the industry in fantasy sports, that a lot of the season-long companies that you're very familiar with are actually facing some tough economic decisions with all the regulations that were brought in the DFS industry. And we don't know the full extent of it, but Greg Ambrosius had a long letter written about a lot of the regulation going in and how it's going to affect them, and they don't know the outcome of it yet. But I got to be honest, it's going to be interesting to see where an event like the NFBC, the NFFC go going forward. I know a fantasy executive's been involved with some season-long fantasy football high-stakes titles. I think those things are in trouble, to tell you the truth.
I hope
each
not.
One of them, and I think they need to change their way of business. We talked about it with the whole My Fantasy League thing. They're going to need to get more volume of players, and at the high-salaried contest they have, they're not going to get that. They need to start opening more contests available to people, or they're not going to succeed, and I think a lot of these businesses are in trouble unless they change their models.
Hey, Tony, I heard you reading some of that this morning. Where is this located at that I can read?
I think you said it was on the message board.
It's on the message board?
Yeah, it's on the NFB message board. What I'll do is I'll tweet out the link to that during the commercial break. I'll tweet that out so everybody can go ahead and take a listen to that. But go to DFS Today. I give you my take on it and the whole state of the industry. Scott, you've been around a long time, and now we're seeing, you know, I go both ways on this. Because I think there is a need for regulation. Because, Scott, you know as well as I do, there's been a couple times when we've had some of these grand events where people didn't get paid. But to be honest with you, we have regulation now. We have people paying fees, and yet nothing's in place to protect the consumer. I feel there is no oversight committee. There are no people checking to see if these guys have separate bank accounts set up for the prize fund. There's nothing in place for that. And I think what we're doing is just paying the government money for nothing. and it hasn't helped the consumer protection, which was what it was sought out to do.
Yeah, the FSTA, they can only do so much. You know, when the whole thing happened, when things happen, it's like, okay, you know, like we're suspending their membership. You know, that's really all they can do. And, you know, this is something to come up with daily fantasy, et cetera. I think it maybe you look at it, it's like anything else. You know, certain businesses have certain reputations that they've built, and you've got to be careful who you play with, because we've seen a lot of high-stakes contests where people just don't get paid. I think you have to know who you're playing with. If you're gonna play like, something that's backed by My Fantasy League, you know they're a reputable business, even though they're independent.
Well, and then most of the, you know, well, outside of MFL 10s, you know what I'm saying? Those funds are locked up anyway with the rest of your league mates.
I was talking about their high stakes contests that they do.
My Fantasy League doesn't have those.
Yeah, they do.
They do.
The Fantasy Football World
Championship.
Oh, the
World Championship. RT Sports.
I was talking about that, yeah.
All right, here's the thing, though, Tone. Didn't they just sell to Sports Hub Technologies?
I don't know if they sold, but I would say merger or something. They are definitely involved there, and that was part of the decision making process. Was because you had they get involved in more games and still have that one licensing fee, so you don't get licensing fee for every game. You get one license fee as a company, and so that predicated them getting together. And they actually cites out the consolidation that took place with DFS, with FanDuel and DraftKings, and the attempt by Fantasy Drafts and Fantasy Aces. And they think more consolidation's coming because of the licenses.
And
fees,
that's
so
what
have
I was,
less options.
And that's what I just was about to say. Eventually, I can see where the NFBC, the FFWC, the FFPC all become one company. They're going to have to merge to survive. Just like the way we used to work at the mothership, they had to merge to survive. Same thing is going to happen with these high-stakes companies. They're going to have to merge to survive. And you got some guys that work for these companies that, you know, they'll shake hands at the FSTA Awards and stuff like that, or they'll shake hands out in Vegas, but they've been hardcore competitors for years now. And to see them come to the table and sit down together, then you know that it must be some trouble. But I do see these companies starting to team up, and like you said, there's going to have to be price points where you can play for less.
The King Scott Angle, it's a changing world, the fantasy world, but it's just like every other business aspect out there. I don't think fantasy sports is any difference.
No, everything's changing. Like we was talking about it yesterday, it's just like, you know, you're seeing a lot of, like, brick-and-mortar retailers, like, closing. Like, you know, Sears is closing stores and stuff like that because everybody's shopping online. You know, it's, businesses are constantly changing. We've seen the fantasy industry constantly change and evolve. It's like, you know, it's a wonder that, you know, you can still go to a newsstand and get a fantasy baseball magazine in today's digital age.
You're listening to the Roto Experts in the Morning with the King, Scott Engel, as we break down everything in the world, getting you ready for fantasy baseball, things happening in the fantasy industry, Scott. And one of the funnest things in the fantasy industry, one of the things that everybody needs, is the Roto Experts exclusive Edge package.
Yeah, it's live now. Enter free radio checkout for a special discount. We got an improved cheat sheet generator and a ton of articles. Customizable player projections, player profiles, everything you need to pretty much slay the opposition this year. And it's a full season package. It's not just a draft kit.
There you have it, Scott. Corey, have you given any of those out for people's birthdays or anything?
The full season package?
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about the Roto Expert. So, that's a birthday gift, too. Yes.
Happy birthday.
If you guys want information concerning the impact of DFS regulations impacting season-long leagues, that's on my Twitter, at TheTonySincata. That link's out there for everybody to go ahead and grab it. When we come
Tony, that's dead wrong. That this is happening to the season-long industry. They should have not been lumped in this from the beginning in the first place. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. Greg is on that board over at the FSTA. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
You know what? Listen, Yeah. I don't know. I don't want to get too deep into it.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about it, and then we'll play a little fantasy fair factor. So don't move. Stay where you are. We're coming back with more of the Roto Experts in the Morning. Welcome back to the Roto Experts in the Morning with the King Scott Angle and, of course, the Fantasy Executive. Before we went to break, Fantasy Executive, you know, you said you didn't think the season long should be lumped in with the DFS companies. I kind of disagree. I just think, though, that they shouldn't have made it one fits all. Like, the one thing in this country that we have a problem with is small business being able to succeed in the United States, because we have all these giant behemoths like Walmart and Target, and the rules are made the same for both these companies, which can't apply. And I think it's very similar in this instance. They needed to make the rules different, but we've had more instances of consumer fraud in season-long leagues than DFS.
But that was Wyckoff, and that was years ago with Wyckoff. And
but there's been others.
The only one I can remember is Wyckoff.
That was the first big one I heard that was of, but I think there's been others.
Okay.
But I don't know what they
and,
are.
And I get what you're saying on that, and that's risky. But we just, you know, we had situations with DFS also. But I'll be honest with you, and I'm going through the message board right now, and I'm reading, and I'm looking at some of the names, and these are some of the guys I've known for a long time and play against almost yearly and stuff like that. The problem, in my opinion, and I hate to put it this way, you know what I'm saying? First of all, FanDuel and DraftKings, that's not small business. Those are big behemoths.
No.
Yeah, those are big mega companies. But I love Greg Ambrosius. You know what I'm saying? He's a buddy of mine.
Yeah.
But they sat on an FSTA board, and they let DraftKings and FanDuel do whatever it is they wanted to do. They put all their resources behind DraftKings and FanDuel. That's not helping the small businesses. Greg is running a small business, but backing the big business plan. You feel what I'm saying? So, and now you come into the message board like, oh, we meant to do this and do that. You had the opportunity with the Fantasy Sports Trade Association to fix it a long time ago, and they didn't do it.
Scott, this is going to be interesting, and it's going to be play out over the next year or two as these states get involved in this, and it'll be interesting to see if the industry comes together. One of the things that I cited was the lack of attendance this year in the FSTA awards. They went from a high of 450 down to 250, so we'll see how that one plays out, and we'll get updates. And maybe we'll bring Greg Ambrosius on the show next week, and we'll discuss some of this.
Isn't Stacey still on that board, too?
What's that?
Stacey Stern's on that board, too, right?
Yeah, well, Paul Charlton is the president.
Well, all right.
Yeah.
Well, look at them. She runs, she has gaming company.
Right. But well, that's why they started the small business association.
But they were still front and center for DraftKings and FanDuel. You feel what I'm saying? It's like, come on now.
Yeah.
You can't.
I'm trying to remember what Charchian said when he was like defending that in New York this past summer. I don't want to paraphrase because I can't exactly remember what he said.
I know he's heard a lot
of the criticism, but
as well deserved.
And but he's staunch in that, you know, that he's not ignoring the rest of the industry.
Well, his company, right? What, LeagueSafe?
But one thing I do remember that he said is that, you know, that DraftKings and FanDuel offer so much to bring into the industry.
They're taking more out the industry than they're bringing in.
The best interest of the industry to support them.
That's not true, in my opinion. They're taking more out than they're bringing in.
How so?
But look what they're doing to the season-long game. Look at the situation that just happened recently. They're hurting us more than helping us. Yeah, it was a boom a couple years ago.
Yeah.
We all benefited off of that.
Yeah.
But we knew it was going to be
I agree with you in terms of, like, there's balance. Like, they do help the industry, but they've also hurt the industry.
Right now, it's only negative.
Right. But back then, it was only positive.
Yeah. But look at where we're at now.
Yeah.
Because they were rogue.
I think that's because a lot of, like,
NASCAR
lawmakers...
NASCAR was rogue. Golf is rogue.
Like a lot of lawmakers don't understand the differences in how these laws affect, you know, the season-long gamer. It's up to people. Like, you know, you now have the Small Business Association part of the industry. It's up to them to go around and lobby and educate.
And there's a lot of stuff that we don't know. It was just December where we couldn't sign up for playoff contests here in New York. But I'm doing the NFBC draft right now, 2 weeks later. So yeah. What's going on?
Yeah. I think a lot of it, I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about what's going on and what we can do at this point. And I think there's a lot of things that are happening that are probably not totally on the up and up. And I don't think it's anybody trying to deceive anyone. I think this is a general understanding of what you can't do and what you can't do. So we'll address this again next week. We'll bring Greg Ambrosius on. He's always been great to come on and talk about this. So we'll get that set up and have that right over here on the Fantasy Sports Radio.
Even when
Network.
You hammered his draft that time, Tony.
I got a 2-page letter. Now, I've said a lot of things about a lot of people in the industry, and I give Greg a lot of credit. Greg sent me a 2-page letter on how I tore him up on a pick of Billy Hamilton.
Yeah, that was a good one.
It was
one.
Amazing.
I think I'm sure Silent Rob still has that audio. I may listen to that tonight.
here we go. He's the only guy. You know what? I'm doing this for a long time. He's the only guy. But he came on the show, and we hammered it out.
It was good.
And, Mike, you know who was the best guy to ever come on the show? That ever, Mike Clay, when he came, agreed to come on, that was he was pretty good, actually. He was entertaining. He had a sense of humor, which we never got left by listening to him on the radio.
Yeah, exactly. It's fun. When you talk to him offline, you know what I'm saying? It's awkward, but you know. He was cool. He was cool, though, you know what I'm saying? I was shocked at some of the things. I worked with, you know, those last 2 months when me and him were working together. I was kind of shocked at some of the things. I was like, oh, look, Mike Clay's an OG. Let me find out.
Fantasy Fair Factor. You've got to pick one of the three options that you would do this coming year. And we'll start off with Scott Angle. Scott, you must select a pitcher in round one of all your fantasy baseball drafts. Or two, you must select Billy Hamilton or D. Gordon round four of every draft. Or three, you must sit down with the host of the Fantasy Baseball and Bagels on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern on demand or iTunes. And that host, of course, is Cha-Cha. Which one would you like to do?
Yeah, I'm done with sitting down with Cha-Cha, so that's out, thankfully. I would probably say a pitcher in the first round, because I think he can't go wrong. You know, even if I'm towards the back end of the wheel, it's like I'll get my hitter coming around. You know, I could take Syndergaard there or somebody like that or Sale. You know, I'm okay with it. I'd go taking a pitcher in the first round.
How about the fantasy executive?
I'm going to go I diversify a lineup. So I'll have a team where I go pitch a couple pitchers to start the draft. But as far as Fantasy Fair Factor goes, I will select D. Gordon or Billy Hamilton. I will select D. Gordon in the fourth round of every draft.
Really? So you're going to go a little speed only in round four?
I think speed, batting average, of course, no power. But in those first three rounds, I can get my power.
There it is. Option number two for Scott Angle. You must select two closers in the first 10 rounds of fantasy baseball drafts, or you draft a second baseman, shortstop, and a middle infielder in the first 10 rounds of each draft, or you must appear in a video with Cha-Cha and his dog.
Yeah, I'm definitely not doing the third one.
you don't like dogs or Cha-Cha. Actually, which do you hate
that's
worse?
A good point. I got to think about that one. We'll have to come cycle back around to it. I'd probably go like the infield positions in the first 10 rounds because I can make a good case for, you know, I don't worry about position that much when I'm drafting offensively. I just want to take the best players.
So what you would do like a Cano, Diaz, and then who would be the middle infielder though? Who would be the third guy?
Like you could go.
I could go like Cano, Trevor Story kind of thing.
Oh yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Or you could actually go
VR
Trevor
Story.
VR or Trey Turner.
Yeah.
You could go Trey Turner there in the first round if you jumped on one of the Robinson Cano in round two. And then end up with, it's shortstop a little later in the mix. it's a big drop off at shortstop. Second base, like you could actually go though. Trey
second
Sermon,
base is where it's
Cano,
at.
Yep. And rough Ned Odor.
Oh, there you go, right there. That's a good call, right there. Yeah. But then, see your first baseman is going to be Eric Hosmer.
Okay,
you cool with
Carlos Santana? You know, it's as long as you've done your study and you're ready, you know, I can.
He's not going to go this late, but I waited on a first baseman, not on purpose, just there was other opportunities for me. And I picked Mike Napoli in the 17th round of that NFBC draft I did.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's going to be guys there that you can nab later.
But you like that, but he's a corner on that team, though. Who was the first baseman on that team?
He'll be the first baseman.
Oh.
Texas?
No, I'm talking about on the team you built, NFBC team you
no,
built.
No, he was the first baseman. He was the first baseman. My corner infield is actually Mikel Franco because I drafted Nolan Arenado first in the first round. I picked Mikel Franco early because I really liked him. And then I was gambling on the first base position, and I was getting a little nervous that someone would pick. Okay. I knew Napoli wasn't signed, so I knew that people would be hesitant to pick him.
Yeah.
So I was banking on the fact that he would keep dropping, and all along that was the guy I was going to pick. So now I couldn't do that because now he has a home.
Okay. Yeah, and in an OBP league, you can't even wait on like a guy like Lucas Duda.
You know, I actually like him. If you guys get stuck late in the draft and have him as a corner infielder, I wouldn't mind having him this season. I think he can hit 30 home runs. I mean, the guy can hit for power.
Oh, yeah.
Last but not least, fantasy factor. You must draft Andrew Miller before round 10 in fantasy baseball drafts. Option number two, you must tie up your utility position before the 10th round by selecting Kendrys Morales. Or number three, you serve chili at your fantasy baseball auction and you allow the people to eat it all they want all night long. A fantasy executive, which option are you going with?
Oh, man, this is a tough call right here, right? But I would serve chili at my auction if Lenny Melnick is not there.
Do you remember that? Were you there that night of the Top Wars broadcast?
I wasn't there that night. I was chilling with Ray and Nando that night. But I heard about it the next day, though. I heard that was a pretty tough situation. That was last year's Top Wars. It's funny how time flies. That was last year's Top Wars. Remember, I had the real bad plantar fasciitis.
Yeah. You're feeling better, right? I told you that go away.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
I had it the year before.
Yeah, so which one are you taking? We know which one you're not taking.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Andrew Miller before round 10. I'm going to have to do a lot of work in to figure it out though. Would any of you guys draft a team with Miller and Allen?
Yeah, but Miller's going to go too early that I think I won't end up doing that.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a tough call, but I'll try to figure it out with Miller.
What are you going to do, Mr. Scott Angle?
Yeah, I like chili, but I think you got to do it in moderation, and not necessarily give it to the whole room. It'd be a heck of a scene though if we do that at the Greenwich Street Tavern League though. Right? The last time we do that,
you know,
far from Long Island,
yeah,
all busting out all over the place,
cha cha going. I rip one over here.
And you know they only got one bathroom in the GST, like that one little stall in the corner. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
they gonna have to close the GST.
Scott, which one are you taking?
Florio will be like, smells good. I'm going to go with Andrew Miller because, look, he doesn't get enough saves, but he'll get a few, he'll pluck a few. And the way he's going to, help my ratio, my whip ratio and, the strikeouts and everything, I think I could more than survive with it.
When we come back from break, we're going to talk more about the Roto Experts exclusive edge package. Michael Waterloo, he's a real person. I heard him on the radio the other day. And the 12 players he says to remove from your draft list. Stay tuned for more from the Roto Experts in the morning. Yeah, it's the Roto Experts in the morning. With the King, Scotty Angle, the fantasy executive, Corey Parson. We got Donnie Burns, and of course, we got the Roto Experts exclusive edge package now on sale to get you ready for Fantasy Baseball 2017. Use the code word free radio and get a discount there. And I've been reading this thing, and I'm loving every minute of it. and we had this Michael Waterloo character on. He's a real guy, fantasy executive.
Yeah, he was in the studio earlier this week, so got a chance to meet him, shake his hand. He came in here with his wife, so they were up enjoying the city. So shout out to them. Tony, right quick, I'm still reading through this message board, and I'm looking at our guy, Cocktails and Dreams.
Yes.
His post is interesting. He lives in Nebraska, and I think Nebraska has it outlawed or have some kind of thing put in place. He plays so much, right? He is the only person praying in Nebraska, and Nebraska is a state that these companies can't lose, and he's the only person playing in the state. How crazy is that?
It is crazy. It is crazy in this... There's more instances of that that you'd be surprised, because we think it's a big industry, but we have a lot of guys that create a lot of volume. Like, that's the whole thing with consolidation in the DFS industry. Like, it's the only time you can consolidate and not gain more customers, because they are the same customers on both sites.
Yeah, exactly. You feel what I'm saying? So it's new. It's nowhere to go, you know? I mean, I'm talking about... I don't know. It's a lot that's going on, but people that are going to be playing, they're playing already. And if people are not playing, they're probably scared off right now. But I think there still could be growth in season long.
Scotty, you think we could grow this thing?
Yeah, I think fantasy is always going to grow, whether it's season long or et cetera. It's interesting because I was watching an interview with the. With the commissioner of baseball, and is saying, how the average age of the baseball fan is 53, whereas football it's 43, and what are they doing to like bring more people into the game? And it's all about digital. So I think baseball is a sport that I think needs a boost in seasonal, and I think digitally, you might see a push even for sports like that.
Baseball is in trouble.
Fantasy-wise, you're saying? You've been saying that for a while.
No,
yeah.
Well, at the fantasy, what I think really helps baseball, Tony? We need sports gambling to be legal. I think that will help baseball.
See, what people don't realize, though, Major League Baseball has made record amounts of money every year for the last 10 years and going up $500 million in profit each year.
But it's in attendance. It's in attendance, though.
Yeah, but they don't care.
They don't care about the television product?
No, I think they care about the television because of that. Because, like he said, the digital media. Like, Walt Disney just bought their digital platform over $1 billion. Because I think sports right now, and I knew this a long time ago. A very smart guy was telling me that eventually no one's going to go to games. They're going to be all for business and corporate parties, and you've seen a lot of that. And basically, with the television products that are available now, it's just better to stay at home. And they're getting so many hits and making so much money off these digital products now, these teams with the NBA package, the MLB package, that they actually make more money when people don't go to the games.
Yeah, but see, and that's the thing, though. But with baseball is still a go-to-the-game sport. The hot dogs, the crack of the bat, the grass, it's summertime, it's warm out, the ball, you have a couple drinks, whatever, sit out in right field and have a good time with your buddies, whatever. Well, you're not really going to do that at a football game.
The food, the refreshment stands.
Yeah, and NBA is too expensive to do that. You're not going to go pay $200 to go to an NBA game and then buy...
See Herta Gomez.
And then buy $80 worth of food and Phil Jackson ruin the product.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But baseball game, the tickets are relatively expensive, and you can still go and have a good time, and it's warm out and stuff like that. But do they not care that nobody's watching the game on TV?
Oh, the TV they are, though, because they're selling those MLB packages online.
Plus, there's a lot of regional television deals by team, too.
Yeah. Like, those regional deals, like, before it was only the Yankees that had them, like, were making big money. Now teams like the Florida Marlins got a $100 million a year contract.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody watches them TV or in person.
Yeah. I'll tell you right now. Well, that's the whole thing. That's the beauty of fantasy sports
and gambling will get people watching on TV, though.
I joke, though, but the Marlins are a good example. They don't get anybody at the ballpark. Most people who follow the Marlins watch them on television.
And the Marlins, Jeff Leoria is not a good order if you're a fan of a team, but they're absolutely making more money than anybody can even imagine. They're actually getting taxes back from the other owners that are pissing them off.
Come on, that's not right.
They're not getting it from tenants.
They're raking in cash.
The luxury tax, yeah, right?
Yeah, smart businessman. He's saying, hey, we'll win a World Series every 10 years and still be better than the teams, and then rake in all this cash for doing nothing.
Yeah, and that's not paying right. The players a lot of money.
And then you see, if I'm the Yankees, if I'm the Red Sox, I'm like, what are you doing? You know what I mean? This is ridiculous.
Yeah. I'll tell you what's not ridiculous. The Roto Experts exclusive Edge package. I went over, and Michael Lotelelu has an article there. And I'm not going to give you all the players because I want you guys to go over there and read it. He has 12 players to remove from your draft list for 2017. And some guys are questionable, and some guys are interesting takes here. So I think you need to go. One of the guys is Didi Gregorius, who had one of his best seasons from an offensive perspective in 2016. But he's saying that, you know what, Gregorius last year was a fluke. He lucked his way into 20 home runs after a previous career high of 9. I say luck because he doesn't hit the ball hard at all. Only 5 players have had a lower hard hit rate than Gregorius last season. His 24% was only lower than Angel Pagan, Alexi Ramirez, Endy Ansate, Elcides Escobar, and Jose Iglesias among qualified hitters. So he says that Didi Gregorius is a one-trick pony and will never have the 20 home run season again. Scott Engel, have you crossed off Didi Gregorius off your draft boards?
See, I don't know if I agree with Michael, because like at some point, everybody, you know, makes sense to be a pick, or most players do, not everybody. The hard hit rate went up, what, 2%? So it's not a big jump to me. The fly ball rate went up to 6%, but I sometimes you see these guys, like, you know, they make adjustments as hitters. They change their launch angle. They change their mechanics. I can understand him not buying in because, you know, the previous track record, but I don't know if I'll write him completely off my draft list.
Yeah, the cut down. Go ahead.
9 home runs to 20, Scott. Corey's a lot here. Are you buying?
Cut down on the strikeouts last season. I think I can get involved as a late middle infielder. Nothing that's really going to hurt you. He's not being overdrafted. Do you want him as your shortstop? Of course not. But yeah, a late round middle infielder, I'll take a flyer on Didi. I think I got Didi on the NFBC team.
There you go. Next up, one of the other guys you mentioned, another middle infielder, Gene Segura. He traded to Seattle, and most of all, it has nothing to do with Byron's power breakout from a season ago. Segura's to home run to fly ball ratio was at 13.5%, which is career high. He also had a hard hit increase from 19% to 29% in 1 year, and he also illustrates with his switch at ballparks, he doesn't see this happening. What's your thoughts on Gene Segura, Scott Engel? Do you cross him off the draft list?
No, but I understand where he's going, though, because I think maybe he'll be overdrafted on last year's numbers, and with the change in venue, I think there's going to be some natural regression there. I think when Gregorius is on the board, I'd rather veer in the direction of a Trevor Story, and, you know, he's not going to be on a lot of my teams. You know, there's still going to be power, there's still going to be speed, but I understand where he's going here. It's like, I would say about 14 home runs and 25 stolen bases, 15-25 instead of, you know, 20-30-35. But I think what he's saying here is to be careful not to overrate him.
Be careful not to overrate him. Your thoughts on Segura, fantasy executive?
I can get involved. The price is going to have to be right. I think he's a 30 stolen base guy. I think he's, like Scott said, a 12 to 15 home run guy. But what he's going to be able to do, like you said, the forgotten category and run scores, he'll probably get you over 80 in that. And it comes with about a 285 batting average. So Segura is not someone to just write off. He's not one of the top, you know, young players that's coming up at the position. But I like him. I can get involved with him if the price is right.
The price is right. That's the whole key. I think I like the concept of this article, but I don't think there's anyone that you can write off your draft list. But I think what he's talking about is that when the, where these guys are where they're currently be drafted, does that make it too much there? So this is a great article at the Roto Experts exclusive edge package. You need to go over there and take a look at Michael Waterloo's stuff. Scott Engel, a big fan of Michael Waterloo.
Yeah, definitely. He's he fits. You know, I was telling somebody internally the other day, you know, he fits who we are. He's one of us. You know, it's I just get that sense.
Do you say that about Tom McFeely?
What?
Is Tom McFeely one of us, too?
Yeah, in terms of sense of humor and analysis, he's definitely one of us. Yeah.
Well, why'd you veil away? You're like, in terms of, does Tom McFeely not have the full package?
No, what I'm saying is, to those are like, the biggest thing is that I like about Tom McFeely. You know, with Mike Waterloo, he's a fantasy gym rat. You know, he's a younger Tim McCullough.
Okay.
In terms of work ethic, etc.
I don't want to hear that my ceiling is Tim McCullough.
What's wrong with that?
I'm just teasing Tim. I love him.
We're going to take a quick break on the Roto Experts in the Morning with the King, Scott Engel, and of course, the Fantasy Executive. Don't go anywhere. More Roto Experts in the Morning up next. Welcome back to the Roto Experts in the Morning. My name is Tony Cincotta. I have the Fantasy Executive, and I also have Scott Engel, as we're going fantasy baseball heavy this morning and actually talking a little bit about the industry of fantasy sports and the Roto Experts exclusive edge package. We've got everything covered for you and for the people. And we're absolutely getting it done. If you missed any of the show, you should go ahead and download the show on iTunes or Google Play. Next up is the segment that people know and love, Fantasy Fraud or God. And basically, whether these people live up to our expectations as fantasy connoisseurs or whether they're just, you know, one of the will pawns, frauds. And we can go from there. First up, Fantasy Executive Michael Waterloo.
Oh, fraud.
He's a fraud?
Yeah, fraud.
You don't think he can live up to the expectations?
I don't think he can live up to Tim McCullough's expectations. Now, I tell you why. He comes in here, right? Wearing the Pittsburgh Pirate jacket. Wearing the Pittsburgh Pirate hat. He's a Pittsburgh Penguin fan. So I asked him if he likes the Pittsburgh Steelers. He said no, he's an Eagle fan. So he's a fraud. You live in the same city as the Pittsburgh Steelers. Every other team you root for is Pittsburgh. The Pittsburgh Steelers with 6 championships. But you go to the other side of the state and choose Philadelphia, who can't win one.
Kind of odd.
Fantasy fraud from Michael Waterloo. What do you say, fantasy fraud or fantasy god, Scott Engel, from Michael Waterloo?
Well, I'm not talking about his fanship. As far as him being a fantasy analyst, I'm gonna say he's a god. You know, the guy works very hard for us. He's football, baseball, basketball, does social media for us. You know, very hard worker and a good team player. I think he's a god.
He is a god. Now, how about this one, Steven Strasburg, Scott Engel?
I say he's a god, but you know, it's like sometimes like gods get injured. Look, he's there in the 5th, 6th round. I'm going to take a crack. You know, look at the numbers he put up last year before he got hurt. This guy is a god when he's healthy.
Mr. Fantasy Executive.
Fraud. He's not going to be healthy. He's going to get points of the season where he's going to end up on the disabled list, and you're going to be in the situation. Hopefully you're not in a situation where you're relying on him. Like you said, this year we want him as an SP2. If you're taking him, he's off my board altogether. Hate to say that, you know what I mean? Because the talent is real. Scared money don't make money. But in the long run, Steven Strasburg, he's a beat up young man.
Fantasy fraud or god, Scott Engel, Dylan Bundy.
I'm going to say fraud. You know, we've heard about this guy for years, and, you know, he made some strides forward, but the overall numbers still weren't impressive. We've been hearing about Bundy for years. Just to get to respectability, I think people will be happy right now, which is what we saw last year. I'm going to say fraud.
Your thoughts on Dylan Bundy, fraud or God?
This is a tough call for me right here because I think the young man is starting to I think he's starting to gain confidence in himself, and I think Buck Showalter is starting to gain confidence in him. They're looking like he should be ready to handle the load this year. I'm going to go slightly God. Right now, he's going off the board pretty late. You can get him as one of your late SPs, maybe even a reserve guy. So, you know, it takes these players a little bit of time to get together, but I think the ERA would be under 4.
Fantasy exec, fraud or God, Cubs starter Kyle Hendricks.
Hendricks is the one that I was looking at this list, and I was like, he's a very interesting play right here. If you think you're going to get what you got last year, then he's a fraud. But if you put some regression in those numbers, he's still about a 3.5 ERA, still over about 160 Ks, top 20 pitcher, so I'll say he's a god.
And Mr. Fantasy Executive says he's a god. What is the King Scott angle?
I think he's a god. You know, I think the guy's a modern-day Greg Maddux. You know, I believe what I saw last year. You're not going to get high strikeout rates, but, you know, this guy can certainly, you know, put it together otherwise. I'm not expecting a 2.13 ERA last year, but when you talk about the FIP was 3.20, you know, I'm comfortable with him keeping under 3.50.
Then you have our guy, Jeonho Kong, who might need God, but is he a fantasy fraud or God, Scott Angle?
I think he's a fraud. I mean, the guy can certainly hit and made a nice translation from Korea when he came over, but I think off-the-field issues are just going to make him a fraud.
Fantasy executive?
Yeah, no, this guy right here, he's got the off-the-field stuff, you know what I'm saying? You know, like, jeez, like, you know, sexual assault and the DUI, you know what I mean? I might have to go fraud on this guy. Like Scott said, he can hit, but you got to be able to conform to the rules.
He's going
to
be a sell with Darryl Revis.
That's not nice to say, Scott.
But could be accurate.
You think Revis going to jail?
What?
You think Darryl Revis going to jail?
Well, he's already been charged.
He's got too much money to go to jail.
I don't know. People have gone Reeves. To jail before.
He's not going to jail.
Mike Tyson went to jail.
Well, Mike, it was different.
He had a lot of money.
But that Mike, what Mike did was different.
Plaxico Burress went to jail.
Well, Plaxico Burress had a firearm.
Right.
Yeah.
Darryl Revis hit somebody.
He had his two. You're not going to put Darryl Revis in jail for hitting somebody.
Why not?
Do you think he'll go? You think he could cover the soap dish? Fantasy fraud or God? The Roto Experts exclusive edge writer Tom McFeely, fantasy executive.
Oh, he's a god. I'm a Tom McFeely guy, so Tom McFeely is definitely a fantasy god.
Your guy, Scott Angle, is he a fantasy fraud or god? Todd McFeely of the Roto Experts exclusive edge package.
I'm gonna say God, of course. You know, I feel like a manager when you ask me about my ball players publicly. It's like, you know, what am I going to say? They're bad or something like that. But still,
so that makes,
you know,
McFeely. But you going that direction makes you believe that maybe Tom McFeely, you're just covering it up now. He's not.
No,
really
McFeely's a god. He's won an FSWA award.
Fantasy fraud of God, Scott Angle, Nando DeFino of the Fantasy Sports Network.
Oh, definitely a fantasy god. I mean, you know, if you know, the guy is. I think his career pretty much speaks for itself, and like one of the nicest, genuine people that I know.
What's your thoughts? Fantasy fraud or God is Nando DeFino, fantasy executive.
Oh, Nando DeFino is the big homie. He is the man, 100%. No doubt about this one. Nando DeFino is a fantasy god,
especially at 3 a.m.
I think he's a fantasy. He's more of a fantasy fraud to me.
Really? Okay. Really? Interesting.
Why?
Because Nando is the best. I think he's the best when it comes to hosting a radio show. And he just threw it all away so he could wear that corporate suit and sign papers with Lou Mayone and work on budgets. And he forgot what he once was, what made him great and what made him likable in the fantasy community. And he forgot his roots. And that's where he needs to go back. That's where he needs to stay. You don't need to put on the suit and sign the papers. We loved him when he was a radio host.
We loved him when he was fantasy.
He
go
is
back
an executive now, but I have yet to see him wear a suit, though.
He goes back to the Fantasy 4. Go back to the Fantasy 411 days, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And all of that stuff. Yeah. Even when he worked with CBS and talented Mr. Roto. So Nando's an OG Nando, in the game.
Nando likes being behind the scenes, though. You know, like, I've watched him do some video stuff. He likes overseeing that kind of stuff.
Fraud. Total fraud. Coming up, Roto Experts in the Morning. We're coming back. Hour number 3. Don't go anywhere. You'll love the Roto Experts in the Morning.